So Claire-de-Lis' heart's dream today is a darshan where those who are physically present here may ask questions. And the title of the whole overarching message is, I am expanding the mission of the World Mother through you. Many of you know that one of the titles that Mother had was the World Mother. It's an office, a title, and that comes through taking on great responsibility unto oneself by harmony, by daily practices of oneness with God, and by obedience to the law of being. So for this darshan, then, we'll have the podium for you to come to for any questions that you may have. So who would like to ask Claire-de-Lis a question? John Nitzinger, go ahead.
This question might be a little bit off the wall, Mother, but I'm an advocate and a lover of the gods of the mountains. And I know that when you took over and replaced God and Goddess Meru, that they moved to our physical sun, and also that God Meru is one of the gods of the mountains, along with Lord Himalaya and God of the Swiss Alps and Orion. And anyway, my question is God Meru still the god of the mountains, or has that been passed on to somebody after he got promoted, if you will?
Well, there are many mountains to climb. You've climbed many of them. What happens when you've climbed every mountain? God provides a different type of mountain to climb. And the mountains in the sun are magnificent. So instead of being concerned so much with titles or offices, use your question as a metaphor to consider for yourself what you've experienced on the mountaintops of life. What brought you to the peak experience of self-mastery as you evolved in your own being and mastered the dynamics of the use of ropes, special hiking equipment, gaining footholds, learning balance, understanding the weather patterns, studying the toposphere of the area and the vegetation as you ascended to the peaks. What did you become, and what have you become as a result of these experiences, so that you may be the god of a mountain, may be the master of self? Have you left the tracings of your own attainment, of your own spirit, on every mountain that you've ascended? And if so, as she sees, as I see it, what can you speak now with authority about the path of light, the path of the ascent? We get caught up sometimes in titles and this master did this or this master was this. The masters are not so concerned about that. What they are concerned about is us and whether we are becoming the master. Are you now taking the lead of the god and goddess Meru and consciously entering the sun on a daily basis? The sun within your heart, the sun of your I Am presence, and actually traveling in spirit to the spiritual sun behind the sun to access new mountains, new discoveries, new isness, new beingness. So the master puts back to you the question again. What mountain would you be master of? Would you be the master of the mountain of pride, arrogance, rebellion, and the non-is-ness as? And once you've gained the mastery over those, then you move toward the mastery of the magnificent virtues. Every mountain that you have climbed could represent a virtue that you may have accessed through your ascent and hopefully now can model through your life. And instead of just talking about wilderness experiences in terms of, wow, this happened with this animal or this plant, use all of those as a metaphor for self-mastery, for becoming more of God, for allowing God to continue to resonate and reside within you. When you take a picture of a beautiful scene, what does that truly represent in that moment of timelessness and spacelessness that brought you into the presence of what you have captured in that photograph? When you write a poem, the feeling that becomes certain words is what you desire to convey to others of the understanding and the attainment of a newness, a freshness of life that is magnificent, that is stupendous, that is beyond self, the lesser self. Each hour that you have walked the earth can be sacred. Each hour that you spend in nature, and often in the forests, the mountain fastnesses, in a pristine lake, either swimming in it or canoeing on it, or paddling here or there, can be one in which eternity reveals herself to you, where the divine alights within your awareness and is impressed deep, deep, deep within your soul, so that you can again access that suchness anytime that you desire, by your attention, by your focus, by your love. Now, after all of this, of course, when a great master moves on to a higher office and world, there is always one that one leaves his legacy or her mantle with in order to carry on that mission upon one world, even as one accesses a new mission in a higher world. Knowing this, you should be in the mode of preparing one or even more individuals to carry on your message, your vision, your mission in some way. They will have their own specific creativity in the way that they carry on with what you have begun in some instances. And that's fine. The Master Moria's message is different from Hercules or the great divine directors. Even though he is carrying on aspects of their great mission on the Blu-ray. Who have you left the tracings of your spirit upon in this life that will carry on the essence of your creativity? And if you've not found that individual or those life streams, consider that it may be more than a few. Have you embedded your love and seeds of light within, the sea of humanity? Have you invested your essence, your beingness, in many disciples as a world father? You know, we hear of world mother. Would you be a world father? We just celebrated Father's Day. What did your daughter say to you on Father's Day that brought tears of joy or meaning to your heart? Have you modeled for her what a true father figure is in every possible way, that when you breathe your last breath upon earth, you know that she will feel fulfilled in the experience that you've had as beautiful souls interacting with each other, as daughter, as father? The oneness that we co-create in moments of love and cherishment of one another is what lasts for eternity. And when we have our life review, those moments where great light was shared, emitted, and expressed is what we will be joyous in re-experiencing from a vantage point beyond ourself, from every vantage point of every life stream whom we have touched, and from the overarching umbrella of eternity itself. If we can live conscious lives where love is fully expressed in kind and creative ways, in moments of deep perception, of ecstatic joy, then this life will be worth it. And every mountain that we climb, every Meru that we meet, will be a friend, will be a lover, will be a part of ourself. Thank you.
Beloved Mother Claire Delane, I would so appreciate if you would comment on the sun as to how people are reacting to it. I've become aware of so many people who are fearful of the sun because of the solar explosions or sunspots or various things that make them feel that the sun is a dangerous place, whereas we all enjoy the sun and we honor it. And I would just love for your comments on how to balance these thoughts and fears that people have.
The sun represents God. And of course, in God's heart, there is never fear. There is only love. When you can share with others, even if you use the term Son of God, S-O-N, that this relates also to the Son of God, S-U-N, and bring that sonship awareness to the person with an understanding that the Son of God, as the Logos, as the Christ, as the Word, is wonderful to be experienced within the heart, within the mind, and within the center of every cell of being. Then the sun will not seem so either mystical or outlandishly inaccessible as this strong force of fire that burns or consumes or overheats or destroys. When we understand the Son of God as the Christ, we know that the light of the Christ is nurturing, healing, and contributing to our well-being. Because this is the nature of God, to share his Son with us, his sonship, and both son and daughter with us. When God gave his only begotten Son, and by only begotten that means it is the one-ly begotten, the one begotten through oneness of Alpha and Omega, with humanity, there was the essence of Alpha and Omega impressed within that being of the Son that is extended to us as a beautiful radiance of perfection, of peace, of glory that is available all the time. And if people can just translate S-U-N to S-O-N and think on the various sons of God who have appeared throughout history, the great words, the great deliverers, the great avatars, messengers, teachers, and see the sun shining through those sons and daughters, then the fear can be resolved and dissolved, and a new awakening to openness, to love, and friendship with the sun will begin. The age of Aquarius is really the age of friendship with the sun in a new and powerful way. This friendship means that you enter into a relationship that is there through communication and communion, through doing things together, having fun in the sun. You know, think of your best friends that you've had in life. You just simply desire to be with that person, to share life with that person, to share new discovery. Well, imagine having all of this with the sun. It ends the mystique and allows for a deeper type of mystical awakening to occur within you. Friendship breeds familiarity, and familiarity evolves into a mystical union and oneness. When there is always love in that familiarity, amity, congruity, unity. You can provide teachings that have already been delivered on the benefits of solar gazing, solar living, solar communion, and the solar sciences with those who are ready to hear them. How do you discern if someone is ready? Let the Holy Spirit decide by praying to the Holy Spirit and then listening and obeying to the Spirit's voice that speaks within you. Sometimes we may try to coerce people to accept what we believe and what we have accepted as true, and we can never truly coerce anyone to accept or believe anything. The Holy Spirit, however, is the great communicator, refresher, comforter, and teacher. And when we are attuned to the Holy Spirit, the words that flow through us will very discreetly and with great attunement bring exactly what is required to that individual. The greatest preparation for any discourse, delivery, teaching, sharing that you will ever do in life is to be still and know that I am God, and to allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you, to charge you, so that you can in turn refresh and charge others in love. So no matter what you teach, let there be in the essence of what you share in the teaching inspired love, first through your deep devotion and prayer to God, your time with God, your communion with the Son. The Son will give you the keys. And a daily practice of, even for a moment, entering into this friendship, talking with the Son as if the Son were your best and most beloved friend, even your spouse, would serve you well and will serve you well. At the retreat over Lake Titicaca, disciples are taught to make greater contact with the Son of their presence through this practice of the presence. And the Ascended Masters are great administrators of light, great deliverers of light. And we can take our cue from them to ourselves be administrators, not as those who must manage others and the ways in which they work or conduct business or their lives. A true administrator is one who facilitates the unfolding of the Spirit within those with whom he or she is working, with great aplomb, with great care, great understanding of the dynamics of their souls and what they require moment by moment to make progress on the path. A true administrator takes care to assess him or herself in the process of sharing processes, ways and means, and giving directions, etc. For in the administration of a team, a group of souls, youth, adults, there can be the tendency to think of oneself as above or beyond others. Be careful that in the mode of administration or delivery of teaching or sharing, that you are always the servant leader. And in that hyphenated term, servant is first. Remember that, all of you. If you ever devolve into the point of thinking of yourself as a leader without the word servant before it, be wary of self. Be careful. The Son is the greatest servitor in our solar system. For the sun is always shining upon everyone and within everyone. This is service to the max. This is love. Of the highest order. When people know the sun, as you are discovering the sun to be a being of light, they will have no fear of the sun. They will meld their being with the sun, and the sun's rays of love and light will simply transmute all cares, burdens, sorrows, pains, ailments. The sun will inspire upon each one when it is time to go inside, wear a hat, even put on sunblock. Listen to the sun, for her wisdom is always within you and speaks in moments of peace. Thank you.
Thank you. My question, beloved mother, is about maybe learning centers. I'm very interested in helping our youth, especially through music, and understanding how, what your updated vision might be for Maywe Learning Centers and how we might revise them or revitalize them.
Well, you can't have a learning center if you don't have children to come to it. And right now, there are not within our community those desirous of coming to something that doesn't exist. So the first step is to talk with the youth within our community and get something going. The learning center can be online temporarily. Don't be so concerned about creating something physical that would be hard to sustain throughout the year if people are not living in proximity with one another to be able to establish it. Begin the conversation again with those who desire to be involved and start somewhere. We've had starts and stops with a number of programs, including the youth program. Sustaining something is a lot more difficult than starting it, right?
Yes.
Initiating it. So create a plan where something can be sustained through funding, through the involvement of individuals that are committed over a length of time to stay true to that purpose, that vision, that goal, that mission. And once you have a firm foundation of people that are committed and that have proven that they will stay committed rather than just giving lip service to it, then you will have the means to actually create something in the physical. Until then, dream. Dream big. Create in your mind's eye exactly what you feel this could be and will be. And then take the baby steps with others with whom you will collaborate to make it so. You may have noticed that even in the ideal society, if you were to go there, there are not that many children, and they don't have their own school. They go to the public school. Why? They've been there 20 years. Most of the people are in their 50s or older. And you have to have young people that are willing to have children to have the children to create a learning center. So we have to shift consciousness to look at what we must collectively do to draw and to magnetize young, inspired, creative people to our movement who will carry on our mission, create families, create children, who can then be a part of learning centers. You heard the word permaculture in the sharing during the radio broadcast. If you haven't noticed, the messenger and his wife are deeply involved in permaculture, as is the ideal society. This is a vehicle for the eventual drawing into our greater community young people who will find their wonderful mates, have children, to then bring forth the next generation, which will create kindergartens or gardens in these permaculture paradises that will exist throughout the world. So the best thing that you can do to win people for our message is to know everything about this new culture that will become permanent. First in the eye of the Divine Mothers, then within your vision center, and then physically as you make your vision a reality by work. Getting your hands in the soil, planting, weeding, harvesting, replanting. All of these cycles are part of what a learning center will be when it is established. And the teaching methodologies that will be shared will be even newer than what Rudolf Steiner, Maria Montessori, and others have co-created to date, because they will be integrally involved in the now of the experience of bringing oneness to the earth through this new inception of light from the sun, invested through a permanent culture of harmony and peace, divine progress and love. You can co-create new permaculture principles that are beyond what Bill Mollison and Zep Holzer and others have shared to date, that you will discover through your work in your communities with others of like mind and heart. Creating heritage and organic seed banks, sharing knowledge at farmers' markets is only the beginning. Much more progress will be made as you collaborate, teach, share, and learn, and relearn from others who are in the fields of life, using spiritual fire to reignite the earth. And this new wave, permaculture is a new wave. And if you're not on that wave yet, and you're not surfing it, you better get on that wave, because it's an amazing wave to experience. And the vibrations and the frequencies are becoming a part of you, and they will be that which you will ever ride to the fulfillment of your victorious life in spirit. Thank you. Well, those are the three questions we're taking for our darshan, and so I'd like to offer the opportunity for Maria Montessori to share now.